Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. I'm your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and as always, it's my pleasure and my delight to be with you. We are so happy that you have joined us this evening. I am always excited about Thursday night. I look forward to coming and being with you. So I welcome you if you're a first-time listener. If you have been following us throughout the years, we've been on since 2008. We thank you so very much, and I would like to also tell you a little bit about Issues Concerning Women and my partner in crime, Veronica McMillan. We are the Issues Concerning Women radio talk show hosts, and we welcome you to the broadcast tonight. And so we want to just tell you a little bit about what we do in our programs and invite you to continue to follow us and let us know what you think about the show. So thank you so much for our longtime listeners, because you keep us coming on every Thursday night, and we're just excited to be with you tonight. So Issues Concerning Women focuses on women, their families, reaching long and short-term goals, assisting them in the areas of business, careers, housing, finance, and life skills. The Micro Nonprofit Network Incorporated, and the CEO is Veronica McMillan, and she is the founder, helps small nonprofit organizations become foundationally strong through education, coaching, mentoring, and programs that develop 501c3 organizations. We offer advocacy services to infuse and stabilize households and foster a sense of community, involvement, self-worth, and self-determination. Our vision is to empower women through hands-on demonstrations, details of home ownership, career development, investing for retirement, exercise, and nutrition programs. We also work with entrepreneurs, so we talk about entrepreneurship. We talk about relationship building and about adult literacy programs. We are dedicated to making a difference. So tonight I thank you and I welcome you to our broadcast. I am not sure if Veronica is going to join us, but we'll just go ahead and get started, and she may come in along the way. So the first thing I wanted to talk to you tonight is that you know that it is November the 3rd, 2022. We are in an election cycle. So I hope everybody, regardless of party affiliation or whatever you think, or you think there is not a reason to vote, I want you to go out and vote. We need to get the vote out. Some people have been saying that they don't have confidence in the government. They don't understand why things are the way they are. Their issues are inflation. They don't know why everything is so expensive. So we're going to start right there and talk about inflation. Anytime that you are being hurt in your pocketbook, it's going to be an issue. And they do call it a pocketbook issue. And I must let you know, listening audience, that I am nonpartisan. I don't tell anybody who to vote for. All I do is bring you information to help you make good decisions. And what I want to say tonight to my listening audience, it doesn't matter which party you represent, or if you don't even have a party at all, you don't affiliate with any party, you don't associate the party. If you are a registered voter, and even if you're not a registered voter today, you can register up until election day in the state of Virginia. So there is no excuse for you to go out and not to vote. You may not have a particular issue that's important to you, but what I do want you to remember is that there were sacrifices made for you to be able to vote, and especially in those brown and black communities. people have died so that you could vote. And whether you have a agenda or whether you believe in the systems, please go out and exercise your right to vote, because it is your civic duty as an American citizen. Now, of course, you're probably saying, "It's Francine, I don't see the difference. I don't know what the difference makes." But just think about the sacrifices that your ancestors made so that you could vote. Think about how many people died so that you could have the right to vote. Think about if you were not able to vote, how would you feel? And think about how it's going to affect not just you right now, but for generations to come, because everything that we do affects the next generation. So we may be in debt. That's true. That's not going to change. It really won't matter which party you're affiliated with. Inflation is still going to keep coming. It comes every single day, every single month, every single year. Inflation doesn't go away until we get to the point where our living wages can maintain a certain lifestyle. Then inflation is going to always affect you. Things are always going to go up there, and then they have sales, of course, and you say prices go down. Then they have things that they do to reduce certain things, and yeah, that happens. But you have to also think back to the 1970s. You're talking about your interest rate right now. Do you know what the interest rate was back then? It's 7% or a little higher. Back then it was 14 and 15 and 16%. And you're probably saying, well, I don't remember that. Well, I bought my first home in the 1970s, in my 20s. I was 21 years old, and my interest rate was 13.8%. And we dealt with it because we didn't have any choice, because that's what it was. And we didn't squawk about it because we were just glad to be able to buy a house in the 1970s. And so very proud. My grandparents taught me about home ownership. They taught me how important it was to have my own. And some people may say, well, they don't see the point in owning anything because you still really don't own it. So that could be your way of thinking, but I hope not. I hope that you do feel that you have, again, the right and the privilege to own something, that you work hard all of your life and you want to have something to show for, whether it be a home or a townhouse, an apartment building, a complex. We want you to think about not just your wealth right now, but generational wealth. On my Lunch and Learn last Friday, we talked about what's so scary about money, and I had a guest, and her name was Michelle Robinson, and the name of her, her name is actually Michelle Robinson Ewing. Let me make the correction. And her company is called Robinson Legacy. And why is she doing that? And she talked about her father has built a legacy for her and her siblings and for her children and for children to come. Mind you, her father has worked hard all of his life. But now he is bringing in his daughter, who is a financial services expert, to help him to make sure that his legacy continues on. And she travels back and forth to their home state to make sure that her father's dream becomes a reality. She's leaving money not just for her siblings and her children, but the generations to come. Their plans are in place. They have a plan. They've mapped it out. They know what they want to do. They know what it wants to look like. So not to get off the subject of voting, because it all circles back around to that. When we have the privilege, but we also have the right to do it, then who am I to say that I'm not going to go and vote because I don't believe in the issues? Well, you have to look at the local elections where you are, and some of these issues should be important to you. So whether it's inflation or rights, what do we do with our bodies, abortion rights, whether it's the economy itself as the overall picture, whether it's living wages, something should be pulling at your heartstrings to get you out there to vote. And again, I know I may not be able to convince you. You've already made up your mind, and that's fine. But I really want you to think about the disservice that you're doing to your community, no matter what community you are in, the disservice you're doing to your community when you don't go out and vote. Now, for people like me, and everybody knows me, that I'm an advocate. I'm an advocate for women. I'm an advocate for fathers. I'm an advocate for families. I'm an advocate for children. I'm an advocate for the under-resourced community. I'm an advocate for the working individual. I'm an advocate for the homeless. And so when you have issues that you're dealing with, which is what I do on an everyday basis, I don't get the luxury of not participating in something that is a right to me. I don't get the privilege to just sit back and not do anything. Now, if you feel comfortable doing that, then that's on you. I have nothing to say to you about it, but please don't tell me that you didn't vote and then you have an opinion about something. If you have something that's on your heart and maybe it's just one thing that you would like to see change, then you should know who the candidates are, what they stand for, and go out and vote. And you may not get everything on your list of things that they are pledging to make come to fruition, but is there one thing that one candidate is doing that you like, then go out and vote for that person. We can't always get what we want. And when we talk about working together, some of us won't even work with anybody. We'd rather complain and moan and groan instead of getting out and doing something. And it may be true that the person that you pick still may not win, but at least you put your best foot forward without a made an effort. So I want to say this. Get out and vote. Early voting is to the 5th, I believe. So please do your civic duty. Go out and vote. Find one particular candidate that's doing something that you like and vote for that person if they're not doing everything that you like. We have to find a common ground where we can work together, where we can build on what we have. And changes come when we accept the fact that we have to compromise. I may not get everything, but I'm going to work on the things that I know that I have the ability to work on. And then the rest of it, we'll take it up another day. So please, please go out and vote. I don't want to beg, but hey, we got to do what we got to do, right? And make sure that you exercise that right because it is upright for us. It is a privilege to do so. If you knew your grandparents or great-grandparents, depending on what age you were, some of them had to fight for it. So let's make our ancestors proud, even if it's nothing that anybody is doing that you like. But you got to find something. You got to find a common ground somewhere so that you can be a part of this democratic process and go out and be who you are, voice your opinion, let your voice be heard. And even if your candidate doesn't win, at least you know I did my part. And that's all I'm asking. Do your part. Go out and vote. I voted today, early voting, walked in. It took all of 2 minutes from the time I walked through the door, showed my license, got my paper ballot, marked my candidates, and I was done. So it's not going to take a long time. If you don't have a ride, there are churches that are giving rides. Call a friend. Do it together. We do the buddy system. And call somebody. Say, hey, I'm going to vote tomorrow. You want to go with me? Make it a lunch date. Just do what you need to do to get the vote out. The next thing I want to talk to you about is all of the things that are going on in the world today. We know that everybody has an opinion, but I say vote your conscience, vote for things that are important to you and your family, and if we do that, then we've done our part. A few weeks ago, actually it's been almost a month and a few days, I had the awesome, awesome pleasure of putting together a forum at the Chrysler Museum called African American Equal Pay Day. Now, for those of you who do not know what that means, it means that when the average American gets paid and they work for the whole year and their year-to-date income is tallied up in December, the African Americans have to work sometimes 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 months longer to equal the same amount that non-African Americans receive at the end of December. So, to clarify that, December 31st, 2021, non-African Americans' income was what they made, and we still had to work those extra months to catch up with what they had already made. So we're still not making a dollar. We're still behind and lagging behind, and we're somewhere between 63 and 80 some cents, whether you're male or female, that can vary. And it also can vary depending on what industry you're in. Now, some of the industries, this statement may not hold true, because in certain industries, they don't discriminate the pay wage and the pay gap. But in other industries, they do. For example, you've seen in the sports world where the women athletes have to continuously fight to make not the same money, but just to get close to the money that the male athletes make in their same genre. And so that has been going on forever. In certain industries like finance, we pretty much can make as much as we want, and we can be on an equal playing field. So I don't want you to think that this is something that has not changed. But if you look at the dynamics between male and female, sometimes the male may make more, because if a woman decides to have children, she may take time off from work to have her children. And she won't make as much, even though she's on the same pay scale as the man. She won't make as much because, one, she's taking time off for children. She's taking time off to have babies. And she's also taking time off when the children are sick or if their parent becomes sick. This is where the wage gap comes in. So there have been changes in the way that we address this issue. There are companies and organizations which are doing a great job giving women more time to stay home and also giving men time to stay home, too, without losing their pay. So it's important that we look at our economy the way that it truly is and truly understand what we're dealing with. When I talk about the African-American Equal Pay Day, most of the time there is a difference in the pay gap between male and female. So even with the male African-American versus the female African-American, there still is a pay gap. So we're trying to narrow the gap, and it is narrowing, so I'm very excited about that. I started looking into this when President Obama signed into law the Letty, and I can't think of her first name, but y'all can look it up, so y'all can fact-check me. Ms. Ledbetter, she let it be known she was doing the same job as male counterparts and she wasn't making the same amount of money. So I started looking at this whole situation and trying to figure out, how can I do the same job as my male counterpart, but you still don't pay me the same amount of money? And so when I started looking into it, I found out some things about where we were as African Americans, and I kept doing research because I wanted to know about it, and I wanted to fully understand what it meant. And 2 years later, I put together the first African American Equal Pay Day Forum at the Chrysler Museum. It was 2019. It was an excellent, excellent program. We were invited into the Chrysler Museum. They treated us with the utmost respect, and I applaud them for opening their doors to us. Then COVID hit, so we couldn't do it the following year. And I also use it as a project for my Urban League community project. Then this past September, I got to do it again. So I worked with the Chrysler Museum and Michael Bellucci, who is in charge of those things at the Chrysler Museum, putting programs together and all that. We talked, we had a meeting, and we put it together again. Again, it was very well received. My hope is always to bring excellent speakers, which I believe that we had, and we wanted to have a question and answer forum after the speakers were speaking. But they had so much content that it went a little longer than expected, and we did not have the Q&A. Now, that's the second time that has happened. So it's poor management on my part, and I will own up to it. And then people not following directions on the other part, because I did have people helping me. But the next time that we do it, because I'm planning to do it again in 2023, it will be a little bit more structured. Maybe I won't have as many speakers, or I will have a longer program. And the reason why the program was so long, because I wanted someone from different industries to talk about the effect that the wage gap has on their particular industry. So we had someone who was in the ministry that owned their own business, and a couple of them were in that category. We had a poet who was in the arts. We had a doctor who talked about health and the disparities that happens. We had a young professional who works in the insurance industry and commercial insurance, talking about how this wage gap not necessarily affects him, but that he's kind of in a category where there are not a lot of African Americans, male or female. So that was interesting. We had a young lady from NASA, who she's retired now, and she talked about being one of the four, you know, we talked about the hidden figures. I think there was three, and then she says, I'm number four. So she talked about her position at NASA, what she did in the arts and science and all of that. We want to make sure that we are getting good information out, and I was also delighted that we had an educator there who talked about the way that they look at when they're teaching, are they really making enough money or should the hours be cut, and all of those things. So it was just a great forum. I really enjoyed it. The women from 100 Black Women Coalition of Tidewater came. They hosted the event, and then we had lunch at the Chrysler Museum. So great day, and hoping that each year it gets bigger and better. And we actually had a write-up in the New Journaling Guide. So they gave you a little synopsis of what actually happened there. And so, again, from my research, I actually got to just bring that forum to the city of Norfolk, and we're going to do it again in 2023. And I want it to be bigger and better. The reason why I'm talking about this now is because I'm planning it now, because I want it to be a bigger event. And so I'll be talking about it throughout the next 6 or 8 months. But I did want to let everybody know that's listening, that inflation is going to come whether we vote or not. Inflation is not going to stop, because it's something that happens. Think about the cost of bread when you were growing up. A loaf of bread was, how much do you remember it to be? And now, how much is bread today? So the cost is always going to go up. Look at food, in particular chicken. You used to get a family pack of chicken wings for $5 or $6. Now they're $25, $27. Ridiculous, yes. But if that's what you want, that's what you're going to have to pay for. And we always find a way to do what we need to do. Maybe, and for me, I'm not eating chicken wings right now unless they're on sale. So I would get my chicken breasts and cut them up, and I would just be happy because it's affordable. I have to live within my means, and I have to know what's good for me and my family, what we can and cannot afford. Being in finance, I constantly am looking at how we're spending, what we're spending, how we're overspending, how we can do it better. Do I get it right all the time? No. But I do try my best to make good decisions when it comes to my household. And again, it's always a challenge, so I really do understand that. So tonight, I just want to leave you with a couple things. I want you to get out and vote. We talked about that for the most of the show. And I also want you to take a look at your finances, your budget. How much are you spending, and where are you overspending? If you need help with that, you can reach out to me. My email address is icwdirector@gmail.com. And you can want to reach out to Veronica. If you have nonprofit questions you want to ask her, you can also reach out to her on her website and send her an email at letstalkveronica@gmail.com. And you can go to the micrononprofitnetwork.org if you want to see more things that Veronica is doing and talk to her and have a meeting with her. We are having our Kids Law Academy program on November the 19th. It's going to be a big day for the Micro Nonprofit Network and my church family. The kids in the Law Academy are going to get pit by the chief of police. Chief Newdigate is going to come and pin them because they've been in the program for this whole year. And so that's going to be exciting, and that starts at 11 o'clock at our office. And then at 1, we're going to transition right into our Family and Veterans Day, Community Health Day. So if anybody's interested in getting a mammogram or getting their eyes checked, please let us know. We're going to have COVID shots there, flu shots, resource tables, so you can get information. I talked to a couple of people today, so we're going to, and it's getting bigger and bigger. We're excited. We're going to have behavioral health team coming from Richmond. So please come and join us, and that is November the 19th. We're going to have Virginia Housing there. So come hang out with us. We're going to have lunch provided by Fireside. They're going to provide the sandwiches. So please come, bring a friend, get some good information. Veronica is going to do a session on mental health for veterans. So please come out and support our endeavors. We are excited about it. And there's so many other things that are coming up that I wanted to share with you, but I won't get into those tonight. But you just got to stay tuned to our broadcast and keep hanging out with us. And if you need more information, again, reach out to me at icwdirector@gmail.com or email Veronica at letstalkveronica@gmail.com or go to micrononprofitnetwork.org And you can also go to my website, which is issuesconcerningwomen.org. Log in, send us a message, and we'll get back to you. So take care. Get out and vote. Be safe. And enjoy the rest of your evening. We'll be back next Thursday, if God's willing. And we'll see you then. Take care now. Bye-bye.